Chapter 4. Now, having overthrown the Persian Empire and settling the affairs of Judah, Alexandros, the king of Macedon, died after reigning 12 years. And his empire was partitioned among his successors. Indeed, Antigonos became the master of Asia, but Seleucus became the master of Babel and the nations thereabouts. Also, Lysimachus ruled the Hellespontus, but Cassandros held Macedonia. But Ptolemy, son of Lagos, took Egypt. But the temple upon Mount Gerizim remained. And whenever anyone was accused by the people of Jerusalem of having eaten unclean food, or violating the Sabbath, or committing any other such sin, he would flee to the Shechemites, saying that he had been unrighteously expelled. About this time, the chief priest, Yadua, died, and his son succeeded to the chief priesthood. And while the previously mentioned princes ambitiously strove against one another, each for his own kingdom, it came to pass that continual and prolonged wars arose. And the cities suffered in these times of distress and lost a great many of their inhabitants, so that all of Syria, at the hands of Ptolemy, son of Lagos, who was then called the Savior, suffered the reverse of what was indicated by his surname. And this king seized Jerusalem by resorting to deceit and treachery. For he entered the city on a Sabbath, as if to sacrifice. And the Judeans did not oppose him, for they did not suspect him to be their enemy. And because of their lack of suspicion and the nature of the day, they were enjoying rest and quietness. And unwilling to take up arms, they allowed the city to fall into the hands of Ptolemy without difficulty. And he ruled it with cruelty. Now, after Ptolemy had taken a great many captives, both from the hill country of Judah and the district around Jerusalem, and from Samaria and those near Mount Gerizim, he brought them all into Egypt and settled them there. And he knew that the people of Jerusalem were most faithful in the keeping of their oaths and pledges, as shown by the reply they had given to Alexandros when he had sent an embassy to them after defeating Darius in battle. Because of this, Ptolemy assigned many of them to his garrisons, and at Alexandria gave them equal civic rights with the Macedonians themselves, and exacted oaths from them that they would keep faith with the descendants of those who had placed them in a position of trust. In the 11th year of his reign, Ptolemy, son of Lagos, defeated Demetrius, son of Antigonos, surnamed the Besieger, in a battle at Gaza. Following this victory, many of the Judeans heard of his kindliness and humanity. And being attracted by the excellence of the country and Ptolemy's liberality, they desired to accompany him to Egypt and to take part in the affairs of the kingdom. Indeed. There were not a few who went into Egypt of their own accord. Among these was Hezekiah, a chief priest of the Judeans, a man who was about 66 years old. He was highly esteemed by his countrymen and not unintelligent in his mind. And moreover, an able speaker and an experienced man in the affairs of the nation. This man, after obtaining this authority and having been well acquainted with the Egyptians, assembled some of his men and read to them a statement showing all the advantages of immigration. For he possessed, in writing, the conditions attached to their settlement and constitution. In this way, tens of thousands more migrated to Egypt and Phoenicia in consequence of the disturbed condition of Judah. However, their descendants had quarrels with the Samaritans on account of their resolution to preserve their father's way of life and customs. So they fought with each other. Those of Jerusalem said that their temple was the holy one and required sacrifices to be sent there, while the Shechemites resolved that the sacrifices should be sent to Mount Gerizim. Now, during one of Ptolemy's campaigns, when Hecataios of Abdera was marching to the Sea of Reeds, a certain Meshulam accompanied them, together with the rest of the Judean cavalry who served them as an advance force. Meshulam was a man with a robust mind and agreed by all of them as the very best archer among both Greeks and barbarians. So, while many were passing along the road, a certain diviner, who was watching the flight of the birds, requested all of them to halt. When Meshulam asked why they were halting, the diviner pointed out the bird to him and said,
"If it remains there, it is expedient for everyone to stand still. And if it rises and flies ahead, to advance. But if it flies behind, to withdraw at once."
Without saying a word, Meshulam drew his bow and shot, hitting the bird and killing it. When the augur and some others became indignant and called down curses upon him, he retorted,
"Why are you raving, you demon-possessed men?"
Then, taking the bird in his hands, he said,
"How then could this bird provide us with any sound information about our march, when it could not provide for its own safety? For had it been able to foreknow the future, it would not have come to this spot, fearing that Meshulam the Judean would draw his bow and kill it.